want your soul.
It was a nice pool, in ground, concrete, and very well maintained. It was just in the middle of nowhere. It was on a state park ground, surrounded by trees. The entire thing was very nicely done with a chain-link fence all around it to discourage after-hours shenanigans. It's just that the thing was in the middle of a forest. I have no idea what the planners were thinking. But it's free and the kids love it, so I guess who cares if it's in the middle of nowhere, right? If it's in the middle of the woods? I mean, it's not that big of a deal. That's what I used to think. I took the kids one day and forgot to bring a book to read, so I was bored. There's only so long you can stare at kids splashing around in the pool for. I don't know how the lifeguards do it. I guess that's why they take turns every hour or so. With boredom my only companion and absolutely nothing else to do but bake in the roasting sun, I decided to talk to the lifeguard who was on duty. I asked if she'd ever seen anything odd or unusual at the pool. She took her eyes off the kids just for a moment to size me up. "Are you sure you really want to know?" she said, turning her attention back to the swimmers. Yeah, I do want to know. That's why I asked you," I said. "Well, because once you hear it, you're never going to come back," she replied. I hesitated for a moment, then chuckled to myself, sizing her up. I mean, what the fuck was she talking about? Am I supposed to get freaked out or something? Woo! Get the fuck out of here. This was a thin girl that looked like she might just be out of high school or maybe a year or two into college. I imagine there was some sort of party gone wrong or some kid that nearly drowned or something. Something that she thought was a big deal, but not to me. I'm a parent. I can put up with anything. In the back of my mind, though, was that thought. What if she's trying to play a little game? I decided I was bored enough not to care, so I went ahead and nodded. "Yeah, I'm sure. Carry on, please." She leaned closer so that I can only hear the story that she told, all the while watching the kids and never making direct eye contact with me. And this is the story that she told. "I've been a lifeguard here for 3 years during the summer to pay my college bills. Since a lot of lifeguards come and go, it was easy to get number one in seniority. I was the only one who was full-time and had some benefits, like insurance. Everybody else was part-time and came and went quite often. Lately, we've been having trouble keeping people. We've had to cut some of the pool hours. I couldn't be here 7 days a week, although my boss seemed to think that I could. At first, I thought our dwindling workforce was due to the current worker shortage going on across the country. Why work here when you can find something better? But as time went on, I began to find out why they really were quitting this easy job. I always got to the pool first and did a walk around to make sure there was nothing broken. I picked up trash and generally made sure the pool is ready for guests. After that, I opened the lifeguard shack and tested the levels in the pool. One day, I arrived a little earlier than usual, and to my great surprise, I found wet footprints leading from the pool to the fence. Now, the pool stays uncovered at night, and it's possible for somebody to sneak in. However, in the 3 years that I'd worked here, nobody ever did that. As odd as this seemed, what was even odder was the size of the footprints. I mean, they were fucking huge. I pulled out my phone and took some pictures before they dried out and even took a shot of my foot next to one of the wet footprints. It was nearly twice the size of my foot, if you can believe that. Now, I'm no basketball player. My foot is only a size 8 in a women's, but twice my foot size? That just didn't seem normal to me. In fact, this whole thing didn't seem normal. Why break into a pool to go swimming when the pool would be open in less than an hour anyways? I mean, couldn't you wait just a little while longer? Didn't make sense. Anyhow, I shrugged it off and went about my daily routine. I opened the pool and people came in, no fuss and no muss. At the end of the day, I got another surprise. When I went to clean the filter, it was full of hair. Now, don't get me wrong, there are usually some odd things in the filter, and hair is not the oddest. I once even found an eyeball floating in the filter. It was from a kid's stuffed animal, but still, it was kind of freaky to see it in there. But this hair, it seemed different. I mean, there's always hair in the filter, but this was long and thick hair. It was almost as if somebody let a dog loose in the swimming pool. But again, I shrugged it off and cleaned it, and I logged it in the back of my mind. And then the next day, the same thing happened. I made sure to get there a little early, and there were wet footprints again. It was as if I had scared someone off by arriving there. But how would they get their dog over the fence? I mean, the fence was 8 feet tall. Was somebody sneaking their pet orangutan in to go swimming before ours? Was a bear somehow getting in and taking a little dip? The hair I found didn't seem the right fit for a bear, but we're out here in the forest, the middle of nowhere. I mean, there's a short list of animals that there could be. I decided to walk the fence looking for any spots that something could have dug under and gotten in, but there was nothing. I double-checked all the gates. They were secure, and there were no spots where anything could get in either. And again, I cleaned the filter, and there were more hairs. I decided to keep some of them out of curiosity. On my next day off, I drove to the college I attended, and I asked the professor if he could analyze the hairs a favor. He reluctantly agreed and told me he'd have it ready in a few days. In the meantime, I was getting to work earlier and earlier every day. This mystery consumed me. I had to find out what was going on, not only for the cleanliness and safety of the swimmers, but for my own sanity. No matter when I arrived, whatever it was seemed to know I was coming and got out just in time. I decided to change my strategy. I drove to work early, but parked my car at a trailhead a mile away from the pool. It took me around 20 minutes to walk it. I approached it as quietly as I possibly could. And as I reached the rise where I could see the top of the fence, I could hear splashing. I kept coming until I could see the level of the water. At first, I didn't see anything. And then suddenly, something exploded out of the pool. It was massive and covered in long brown hair. It landed back in the water with a huge splash, like it was doing a cannonball or something. I froze. I knew there was something, but until now, the reality hadn't hit me. But in this moment, there was no denying it. There was some sort of fucking creature swimming in the same goddamn pool I watched every day. I stood there, transfixed on this apparition as it frolicked in the water like a child. It spouted water out of its mouth, 20 feet in the air as it floated on its back. My mind kicked out of frozen terror mode, just enough for me to pull out my cell phone and take a picture. Unfortunately, I'd forgotten to turn the volume down, and when my camera made the lens click sound on my phone, the creature immediately snapped its attention to me. It glared at me for a long moment, causing my veins to turn to ice. I expected it to run off, startled, but it didn't. It slowly rose out of the water and stepped onto the concrete surrounding the pool. I know it stood at least as tall as the fence as it stepped toward me. It was huge. I was too terrified to snap another picture as it hurtled the fence in one leap and landed 40 feet in front of me. I had nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. The relative safety of my car was a mile away. It might as well have been 100 miles at that point because there was no way I could outrun this thing. It flexed its claws as it continued to slowly advance towards me, fangs bared, and I knew I was going to die. It closed in to 10 feet away. I could hear its breathing and smell the chlorine mixed with wet animal smell as the water dripped from its fur. And then it paused. It cocked its head and then gave me a look and ran off into the forest. And a few seconds later, a car drove by. I let out a breath as I didn't realize I'd been holding it in and started the long trek back to my car. Every step I took, I wondered if it was following me through the woods. Every sound I heard caused me to whip around and look to see if this monster was sneaking up behind me. It seemed to me like it took me forever to reach my car, and after the last quarter mile, I ran. I didn't think. I knew it was following me. When I dove into my car, I locked the door and called my boss. I told him I needed to take the rest of the day off. He said he didn't have anyone to cover for me, and if I took it off, the pool would have to stay closed until my relief came in 4 hours. I fought a hard battle between my fears and my responsibilities. But I had to remind myself that there was a monster in the woods and we had children that came to the pool. I decided that since no one else had seen it, I was going to be the only one in first line of defense. So I reluctantly drove to the pool and opened it. Everything I normally did, all of my daily routine, took on an element of a horror movie. Every blind corner I felt like I was about to be attacked. Every time I was out in the open, I could feel eyes on me. When people came in, I felt a little better about having company, but as I scanned the swimmers to make sure they were safe, I would constantly scan the trees for this cryptid monster to see if I was safe too. I wondered if it would attack even with the swimmers there. My mind wandered to the movie Jaws. All the swimmers in the ocean were blissfully ignorant that they were about to be a meal for a malevolent creature. I wondered if my swimmers were about to share the same fate. I wondered if I could stop it. When my shift finally mercifully ended, I felt like I had been put through the ringer. As I drove home, my attention was divided between the road and the image of that monster, slowly approaching me, claws out and snarling. I didn't even see the truck that hit me. I woke up in the hospital with machines beeping and tubes running in and out of me. The doctor told me how lucky I was, that my injuries weren't that bad, and I should be out of the hospital in a few days. I called my professor at the college and asked him what he had found out about the hares, and he seemed hesitant and told me he would rather tell me in person. A few hours later, he visited me in my hospital room. He said that he couldn't match the hares with any known animal, but he contacted some lesser-known sources, and they did come up with an answer. I didn't really want to have my suspicions confirmed, but I needed to know for sure. He said that it could be a Bigfoot. I pulled out my phone and showed him my picture of the creature that I took. He took it and studied it. He zoomed up and scanned through the image like a kid that had found $100. He asked me if I could send him a copy of it. And when I agreed, he was so excited that I thought he was going to jump into my hospital bed and kiss me. Knowing what was hunting me didn't make it any better. In fact, now I knew no one would believe me. The professor even said I should be careful who I tell this to. After I left, I called my boss. He never asked me how I was, only when I could get back to work. When I told him I quit, he nearly blew a gasket. He screamed at me that it was my fault he had to close the pool and informed me that if I quit, the insurance wouldn't pay for my hospital stay, so I was trapped. I had to go back to the pool of terror and possibly face this thing. I had no desire to ever go back, but I had no choice. I had a ton of medical bills. So back I went. 2 days after I was released from the hospital, I was due for my first shift of opening the pool again. And I made sure I didn't go early. I knew this thing existed, and I had no intention of trying to sneak up on it again. I was ready to live and let live. But unfortunately, it had other plans. I saw it more often, peeking out from behind trees, watching me as I watched the swimmers. When I closed the pool and walked back to my car is when I could especially feel its eyes on me. I practically ran to my car, slammed the door, and got out of there as fast as I could. I made sure my attention was focused on the road, even though my eyes kept darting to the sides of it. The following day, I came to work a few minutes early and stopped at the ranger station on the way in. I told them what was happening, and they laughed me out of the building. They said there is no such thing as a Bigfoot. The professor had told me to expect it, but it was still hard seeing people I'd talked to and grown to trust turn their back on me like that, think that I was a liar. I saw the creature again that day in the trees glaring at me, but did my best to ignore it. When I got home, I was mentally and physically exhausted. My stress level was through the roof. I'd started taking pills to help me sleep because this thing was in my dreams as well. That evening, as I tried to relax, I heard a commotion outside. I stepped out to find my trash cans knocked over, not an uncommon occurrence since I live on the outskirts of town, but this time when I went out to pick them up, it was there. It stood there much the same as the first day I discovered it, snarling and flexing its claws, wondering at this dreadful apparition that stood before me. When it took its first steps toward me, my fight or flight mode kicked in. I ran inside and locked the door. Then I called the police and told them someone was trying to break into my house. The monster helped corroborate my story by breaking a window while I was on the phone. I then ran upstairs and hid in my bedroom closet. For a long time, there was a dreadful silence. What was it doing? Was it toying with me? And then I heard it. I could hear its massive footsteps as a dull thud on my carpet. I heard it slowly searching for me, It went all through the downstairs, and then I heard footsteps coming upstairs. I could hear them slowly, methodically working their way toward my bedroom. They came into my room. I could hear them walking around my bedroom floor and then over to the closet door. For a long moment, it did nothing. It just stood there, in my house. I could hear my breathing then turn rapid. I could feel the sweat run down my cheeks. I could picture the end of my life in bloody, gory detail. The door swung open, and then I screamed. "Ma'am, it's all right," I heard. I opened my eyes to see the police officer standing in front of me. I blinked hard to make sure he was real and then threw myself into his arms. He held me for a moment, then pulled me away. "Are you all right?" he asked. I couldn't answer. My mouth wouldn't work. It took me a few minutes to be able to form a few words. Is it gone?" "Well, I didn't see anybody, ma'am, and I searched the entire house." I nodded automatically, not really hearing what he was saying. He said the only thing they could do was to patrol the area more often. He left shortly after, leaving me to my terrified self. There was no way I'd be sleeping anytime soon. I stayed up all night watching movies, mostly comedies, anything but horror. When the time rolled around for me to go to work, I wasn't up to it. I called my boss and told him I was sick, but he wasn't having it, and he demanded I come to work anyway. I grabbed an extra large coffee on the way to work that day, wondering how I was going to stay alert enough to watch for swimmers. When I got there, the answer was already provided for me. As I started my daily routine, eyes darting around the trees, I saw there was something floating in the pool. It took every ounce of courage I had to not run to my car and never return. I slowly approached it and saw that it was a deer, or at least what was left of one. Its throat had been slashed and blood hovered in the water around its body. What was even more disturbing was that there was a drawing on the concrete. I approached and looked at the drawing. I immediately covered my mouth and backed away. It was a star with a circle around it, and it was drawn using the deer's blood. I snapped a picture with my phone and sent it to my boss. He replied, "Very funny." I told him it wasn't a joke. I took pictures of the deer in the water and sent him those as well, and he accused me of doing it so I wouldn't have to work that day. I shrugged it off, nearly telling him who, or should I say what, was responsible. He told me to wait where I was and not to open the pool. I put out the closed sign and covered up the pentagram with a tarp. When people started showing up to swim, I apologized and told them that we were closed for repairs. A few people asked me what repairs, and I told them it was a filter problem and should be cleared up soon. When my boss arrived, he was beyond livid. He walked around looking at the deer and the blood in total disbelief. He screamed at me that the pool would have to be completely drained and cleaned. He threatened to make me pay for it. I told him I had nothing to do with it, and if he tried to blame me, I would call the police and press charges for harassment, and that seemed to settle him down a little. He told me to try to get the blood off the concrete while he started the process of draining the pool. And let me tell you, scrubbing did next to nothing. I found an old pressure washer that we used to clean the buildings and tried it. That seemed to work and pleased the boss so that he wouldn't have to pay to have it sandblasted. All this time, though, I kept an eye on the woods, looking for my hairy stalker. At times, I caught glimpses of him as I cleaned up the mess. I wondered what the ramifications of him killing the deer and making the symbol would mean, and I wondered if he knew at all what he was doing. After a long day of cleaning and listening to my boss griping, I finally got into my car, exhausted, and started to go home. As I drove home, I saw the monster on the side of the road. I was tempted to try to hit it with my car, but didn't think that my car would survive it. As I was about to pass by him, I saw him holding a deer by its neck and legs, and to my horror, he threw the deer at my car. Time slowed as I had no time to react. Instead of hitting the brakes, my foot slipped off the brake pedal and hit the gas. It turned out to be a pretty good accident. The deer hit the back of my car instead of the front. I truly believe he was aiming at my windshield. And I didn't dare stop. I kept driving. Only once I got home did I check for the damage. There was quite a dent in the rear of my car behind the passenger door, but it was still drivable. I believe if I had hit the brakes, it would have totaled my car, gone right through the windshield, and possibly killed me. I shuddered at the thought of this monster actively trying to kill me, and I wondered what I had done to deserve death in the eyes of this creature. I thought back to the first time I saw its footprints. I replayed everything that had happened, and it struck me that he had seen me take pictures of him, and that seemed to anger him. It's the only thing I could think of. And so I thought of a radical idea. It was stupid, and I didn't think it would work, but it was something to try rather than having this monster stalking me for the rest of my life. I drove out to the pool early the next morning. It was strange seeing it empty. I don't think I've ever seen the bottom of the pool so clean, either. I stood on the concrete beside the pool and held up my phone. The picture I had taken of the creature was on the screen. I saw it come out of the woods and leap the fence, landing right in front of me. I tried not to show how very frightened I really was. He looked at me, then at the phone. I took it as a good sign that his fangs weren't bared. I set the phone on the ground and I backed away. He reached down and picked it up, looking at the picture for a long moment, then turned and leaped over the fence, disappearing into the woods. Well, that's quite some story that you got there. You should write fiction. That was really great, I said. Well, you want to know what the best part was? She said, never taking her eyes off my kid swimming in the pool. Yeah, sure, go ahead. She leaned a little closer and whispered, it's true. It's a true story. I smiled and rolled my eyes. Yeah, sure it is. I'll tell you what, she said. Why don't you look over my right shoulder into the tree line and tell me what you see? I did as she asked, grinning at the joke this lifeguard was playing on me when suddenly my smile faltered. I saw something in the trees. It was a brown head peeking around a tree. At first, I thought it was her co-worker in on a joke, but the head was over 8 feet tall. Its eyes bored into mine and narrowed. I found myself looking away despite not understanding what it is that I'm looking at. And when I looked back, it was gone. Something wrong, she said. How long ago was the pool reopened, I asked. Last week. I looked around and over in the corner on the concrete, I could see the faintest outline of a star. My eyes grew wide. Welcome to my world, she said without the slightest hint of humor. I whipped around toward the pool. Kids, get out of the pool. We're leaving now, I called out. Aw, Dad, come on. We haven't even been here for an hour. Get the fuck out of the pool now, goddammit. We have to leave now. Why? Why do we have to go? I looked at the lifeguard and then glanced up into the trees. It ain't safe here. I then loaded up the car with these three disgruntled kids and started home. On the way, I kept glancing into the woods. And I swear, I saw the woods glancing back at me.